Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shane Attack.
Attack is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated specializes in customer service, low prices, and prompt shipping. You can find our web store at www.discountgamesinc.com.
Welcome to Chain Attack. I'm your host, Trevor, and I have enjoyed my rewatch of Tenet, which is probably my favorite. Yeah, it's probably my favorite Christopher Nolan film at this point now. I believe that I can now crown it.
Well,
that's only okay, after like three watches, though, right?
Okay. I mean, my crown might be a little premature. To be fair, I've seen it twice. I saw it in the theater, and then I saw it yesterday.
I'm happy to allow you to use recency bias all you want, Trevor.
That's fair, yeah. So, I'm Jay, and on the one hand, I'm not super surprised that this has been Trevor's conclusion, because, like, you have a deep and abiding love of time travel stories.
I do, yes.
And so, Christopher Nolan doing a time travel movie seems like right in the wheelhouse of something you'll love.
So, I know, it's like my favorite two things. It's amazing.
It would be like the director of Arrival doing a Dune movie or something.
Yes, on that level. I am...
I love that we bring these jokes back.
I am interested in... You know, obviously, I've bought the movie, I'm going to watch it multiple times. But I don't... Like, I don't feel a push, like... Watch it tomorrow again or whatever. So, which on some of his movies that I've loved the most, I have kind of felt that way, that I could like turn around and almost immediately watch it. Which is, it's weird that I feel that way, because
yeah, I
think
felt
you're
that
right
with Inception that, for sure.
That you wanted to watch it again immediately.
Yeah.
That one definitely, I felt that more so. And with Tenet, it feels like I should have that, because obviously there's a lot of things in the show that you're going to, experience differently on the second viewing.
Oh my gosh, there are so many little details that I caught on the second viewing that I did not catch on the first viewing, and it really blew me away, that it almost felt like he intended for you to watch it multiple times.
Yeah, I think so. And I'll also say that, so I watched the we watched most of our TV in our bedroom, which I guess is supposed to be like awful for your sleep hygiene or whatever, but and it's a nice TV, and we have a sound bar, etc. But there was definitely points in the movie where I was like, man, I'm just really bummed that I didn't get the experience of watching this in the theater.
Yeah. I can appreciate that. It was the only thing that I decided to actually venture out for this year, is, you know, and there were a lot of other things that I, you know, not just movies, but just general experiences that I could have had this year. And Tenet is the only thing I went out and watched.
Didn't you say that like the theater was basically deserted as well?
I'm trying to remember. I think there were six people in the theater for the showing.
Wow.
To be fair, we weren't there during like
right. a heavy traffic time.
A peak hour.
Yeah, it wasn't a peak hour or anything, but it still was. I believe it was release weekend. It was more like a late matinee, probably like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon on release weekend. So you would still expect there to be, you know, on a normal weekend for a big blockbuster movie like that, at minimum, I think you'd have 40, 50 people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I think there was six of us. And one of the couples that were in there, I swear, I think they either expected something different, or maybe they went into the wrong theater. I don't know, but they were not the
were they like
type
offended
that I,
by the film
did they walk out or
no, they just, I don't know how to explain my position other than they didn't seem like Christopher Nolan fans. So, you know, but maybe they're just cinema fans. Who knows? I will say though that my movie tastes might be a little in question.
Really?
I am rapidly approaching that Sonic the Hedgehog is going to be my most watched movie.
I mean, have you at least watched Detective Pikachu?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Sonic is way better.
I don't know about way better, but I'll give you better.
I watch Sonic pretty much every night, so it's stupid easy fun. Like, you don't have to pay super a lot of attention to it. So I will turn it on while I'm doing other things, and I watch it all the time.
Trevor's sleep hygiene is being damaged by Sonic the Hedgehog, Jay.
That is correct, actually. I go to sleep to Sonic almost every night.
Oh, ridiculous.
I am going to watch that movie. I'll probably wait until like it's on HBO or something, because I'm skeptical, especially if Josh is like saying it's on par with Detective Pikachu, which was like just awful.
What? Jay,
Detective Pikachu was awful.
Okay, I mean, awful. Awful is harsh criticism.
I mean, to be fair, for a Pokemon movie, come on, you know.
Like, that's the issue. I have zero emotional investment with Pokemon.
A Deadpool movie day, so yeah. You gotta take that into account too, I suppose.
I have zero emotional investment in Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sure.
I'm not a Sonic fan of any kind. I never really had any ties to the game.
Sega Genesis.
I had a Sega Genesis, but I played Sonic a little bit, but I played a heck of a lot more Earthworm Jim because that game was actually good.
One of the things that's kind of funny about their decision to make that movie is that, like, are there many people that actually do have like this huge emotional connection to Sonic the Hedgehog?
I think there are. Yeah,
a weird nostalgia. Yeah, like for some reason.
I mean, I don't know how to explain that. But the movie, I'm willing to go out on a limb and I would pay for your rental of the movie. Yeah, I don't think it's your. I don't think it's your bug. I don't think you're going to walk away from it going, you know, Trevor was right. That's the most amazing film I've seen this year. But I think that it's enjoyable.
I feel like you need to watch this for science now, Jay.
What do I need to watch?
For science, Sonic. You need to watch.
Oh,
Sonic.
For science, yeah.
For science,
yeah. I mean,
how is this happening?
I will watch it, and I will, you know, we'll talk about it. Pagani is another one who loves the show, but he also has questionable taste like Trevor. So, like, I love you both dearly, but.
I mean, on the scale of video game movies, Sonic pretty high.
Yeah, I expect that. I mean, it obviously has some really solid actors in it. So, not that that's necessarily mattered when it comes to video game movies in the past.
That's what we should rank the best video game movies of all time.
Oh, it's on the list of the proposed topic.
So we're like 8 or 9 minutes in, and I still don't know who the third host that's talking to me is.
I couldn't remember for sure if I had introduced myself this time, but I'm Josh. My nerdy claim to fame this week is that I basically was defeated by my daughter representing the Continental Army in a game from the 90s called We the People, which we were, you know, ostensibly using as an educational exercise. And you know what? Sure. Yeah. She learned something. She even at one point in time admitted that the Declaration of Independence card seemed, and I quote here, OP. But for listeners who pay better attention than me, you may remember that when we interviewed Jason Matthews, the designer of Twilight Struggle, he actually brought that game. He's actually the reason I got it and thought, hey, we'll try to use this for a educational experience. But he had just said it was sort of an inspiration of a early card-driven war game. So it was interesting.
We're in the news and announcements section. And
oh, man. That means we're talking about your tea.
I think you have Trevor has a very exciting announcement to share with us.
Oh, exciting.
I do?
Yes. Trevor and Viridian Dynamics have...
Oh! I guess I don't know what we're talking about, but Viridian Dynamics is putting together a fundraiser for the pandemic, and you get to watch Better Off Ted reunion, which is the most amazing thing news that I've heard all day long.
That is like really amazing news, honestly.
I introduced my daughter to Better Off Ted, and we've been watching it basically 3 or 4 episodes a night except for last night because we watched Tenet, and tonight because we watched The Queen of Katwe. But every other night we've been watching Better Off Ted, and my daughter has, I don't know that she's ever laughed as much.
So how does one participate in this fundraiser then?
Well, I don't know how the best way to get you there, I guess. If you follow me on Twitter, I just posted a image that they put out. But it's basically Viridian Dynamics presents a Better Off Ted reunion, which more information can be found at tinyurl.com/PPV. TED Talk.
Amazing.
Which is the most amazing shortened URL ever.
Yes, yes.
So I guess I'll do a continuation story of the sagas of being a game store owner. The Dire Chasm core box was supposed to arrive last Saturday. By last Saturday, that's when it released. On last Friday, they were like, oh yeah, we messed up and didn't ship it. My sales rep is on vacation, and so I got called by another sales rep today, and he's like, yeah, so anything we can do to help you? And I'm like, well, could you maybe ship these boxes of Dire Chasm? And he's like, oh yeah, they've been really backed up. We had the original sales rep, who was also a replacement sales rep, was like, yeah, our hope, it should hopefully go out the door, you know, pretty quick because it's just, new releases. And in their defense, usually orders that are just an order with new releases do like basically immediately ship, but maybe by this point they now consider Dire Chasm to be a restock, even though I've never received it, and so it's in the normal queue, I guess. I don't know, but I'm sorry for anyone that ordered Dire Chasm and it's not yet.
I mean, to be fair, if I were a miniatures player, which I am, I wouldn't mind if my things were shipped out slow right now. I mean, most of the things I would be ordering would be just to be assembling and painting, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Because, okay. I was a little slow on that one.
I mean,
I feel like I could make the same argument about all the board games that I keep lining up in a queue at the Jay's shop, but I'm not going to make that argument.
Good, good, good. Okay, so I have a Dank Dune meme to share. I've timed this one. so this episode should be going out like right around Christmas time. And so this is one that's for the year end, Dank Dune meme. And it's just kind of dumb and silly. So the picture of it is, of Alia from the 1980s Dune movie. And it says, if you start watching Dune at 9:47 p.m. on December 31st,
I freaking love these.
You can ring in the new year with Alia proclaiming, for he is the Kwisatz Haderach.
That's good stuff.
So in a bonus episode that we did, we talked some about Queen's Gambit, and I talked about a Garry Kasparov article where he recommended the Queen of Katwe, and I pitched that to my two co-hosts, and it's on Disney Plus for free if any of the listeners want to watch it. Josh, I know that you said that it was a big hit with your family. Trevor, you said that your family just watched it. What did you guys think of it?
I would yes. not say my.
I'm an obedient co-host, so I watched it quickly. Also, I have a way smaller movie list than Trevor. I guarantee it.
So my family didn't watch it. Only my daughter. I could not get my boys to watch it with me. I tried. I failed.
One side note on it is that it is like around 2 hours and 5 minutes.
2+ hours, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I will say that there was a couple of gut punches that I was not expecting, and it emotionally hit me pretty hard.
Yeah, I'm going to call it the second gut punch. My wife and I were close to turning the movie off. Like, but I was like, I got to see how this ends. But I'm like, you are destroying me right now, you know, movie/reality, et cetera.
Yeah, reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's the quick pitch on it is that it's a movie about a young girl that grows up in the slums of Uganda, and she uses chess to kind of better her position in the world. So, okay. So the next topic, I have to ask you guys, am I the only one now that has, had the joy of watching A Recipe of Seduction?
Yes, so far you are the only one. I really have an excuse because it's only 16 minutes, right?
Yeah, it's only 16 minutes.
It's not that I don't have interest. It's just that I guess 16 minutes is sort of an odd little time amount. I would have to
I mean, it's like half a run in the 80s, Trevor, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I would have to stop my runs of Hades to sit down and watch it. It's just I haven't done it yet, I guess.
So, before we started the episode, I transcribed the opening statement of this show just to give you an idea of like the scope of this work of art that's been shared with us. So. It says, this piping hot love affair of deep-fried romantic goodness is presented by Kentucky Fried Chicken. So, that tells you everything you need to know about how awesome this show is.
It's just the gift that keeps on giving.
I'm wearing a headset so I can go ahead and watch it while we're recording.
No. I do have, that's right. I do have one thing that you guys and all the listeners at home need to do right now. Just do like a Google search of the KFC logo.
Okay.
And pull up that image. And I saw this on Twitter and it just cracked me up how funny this is. So you look at the logo and it's, Harlan Sanders' face with his bolo tie there underneath him. And the thing I saw on Twitter was this guy saying, my wife just admitted to me that she had thought all her life that the little bolo tie that is there underneath Harlan Sanders' head is actually a little stick man.
Yeah, his arms and legs.
It's amazing. So I'm excited to hear your guys' reaction.
It's the recipe that is a gift that just keeps giving. I am so excited.
It is.
I kind of wanted to wait till Christmas and watch it with my family to make it a real that's holiday fair. Tradition.
That's but, fair.
But I might get it done early.
I'm really. You can double dip, Josh.
Josh, it's just like a nacho. It's little. You eat a little bit of it. Yeah. You might call it a chicken nugget.
Okay, so Trevor, when we were brainstorming ideas for this show, you kind of pitched going over some travails that you've been having as a parent in the modern age, and so what are you, what's going on?
Well, So let's back up for just a second. And I want you guys to tell me when you were, say, 10 years old, you know, 8, 9, 10, what sort of toys did you get for Christmas? What did you play with Christmas more? Do you remember anything specific that you got?
I remember being really excited that my cousins were getting Ultima on the Super Nintendo. Does that count?
Sure. What else did you... Do you remember any specific toys you got? I'll share one.
I remember Legos.
Okay.
But, like, seriously, I'm not even lying. Like, most of my happy memories as a child, they were video games. Like, you know, it was... Mm-hmm. Like, almost always that I can think of. Maybe Crossbows and Catapults. I remember Crossbows and Catapults one. Does that count?
So, even when you were a little kid, you didn't get, like... You didn't get G.I. Joes or anything like
that? I got He-Mans. I had He-Mans, but... I was not going back far enough in memory or age. 7 or 8 seems like I would have been too old for those already.
Are you kidding me? 7 or 8?
Maybe.
I remember stuff like when I was little, stuff like maybe Tonka trucks and then maybe something like a Nerf ball. But then after that, most of the gifts that I remember are more stuff like, books. So,
well, so here's the issue. My boys, one is 12, one is 9. And the 12-year-old is emotionally and mentally a little bit younger than his age suggests, like all boys, but even more so than the average boy. So for them, you know, they're still excited about the things that they will play with Christmas morning, quite a bit so. And so we always ask our kids for, you know, what their Christmas list is. And my two boys, they gave me a Christmas list that essentially the one boy gave me, I want a Steam gift card.
Oh, nice.
That's what he told me he wanted. He said, here's a list of games I want, Dad. They're all on Steam. He did his Christmas shopping from the Steam interface.
And I have a lot of respect for this kid. I'm not going to lie.
The other boy...
But I can see your distress already.
Right. The other boy gave me a list, and it is literally, I have it sitting right here. It is, one of the things on his list is a different breakfast cereal. He asked for
amazing.
He asked for Apex coins, Minecraft coins, Roblox gift card, which is so Roblox coins.
Yeah, so Roblox, that's the equivalent of digital coal, right? Well, it would be for me.
Yes, I hate all of these so are. Much. He's asking for Minecraft coins, Apex Legends coins, and Roblox coins. So essentially, both of them have asked me for a digital product. So that is their list. That's the entirety of their lists.
Man, I'm impressed. So, my 7-year-old this year, like normally we tell him the limit's 3. His list has grown to like 20, I think. And the most hilarious conversation I had with him about it is at one point in time, he's like, oh, Dad, I just remembered something I need to add to my list. And he's like, because that way I'll save you and Mom money. And I'm like, I can't wait for you to stop believing.
So anyway, I'm in this situation where, like, what is going to be under the tree? What are they going to open up? And what in the heck are they going to play with Christmas morning? Like,
and
I mean,
I'm on board with your first two questions. But explain to me why just playing whatever Steam game they get or whatever on Christmas morning is not in line with what you would hope or expect or, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
Like, all I ever wanted on Christmas was, and this is still the case, I just want to be left alone. I just want to make another run at Hades, okay? That's what it is this year. But it'll be something else next year. I know what I am.
Let me give you a little view into our household, because I realize that we're somewhat different than the average household. So there's a couple of things. One, we have 5 game players. So if I hand everybody a Switch game, only one person is going to get to be able to play. So that's not necessarily the issue here, because both of them have asked for things that are appropriate on multiple platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have their own computers, so it's not necessarily an issue here. But the other part of it is that Christmas morning, and this has been for their entire life, my children are not aware that they can wake their parents up. And we have not dissuaded them from this concept. So for my entire adult life, I have never been woken up on Christmas morning by a child. They sit patiently and they will play with the things that, quote, Santa brought them, but they will not, they do not open any presents. They just wait patiently and sometimes not so patiently, but they don't wake us up. They never come in. They never knock until we get up.
So wait, does this mean, can Santa not bring them the Steam gift card stuff?
I mean, the 7-year-old doesn't really have access to be able to enter Steam gift cards into his account.
Yeah, sure.
And okay, well, so let's say Santa brings him the Steam gift card. What's under the tree, Josh? What does he open later?
I mean, you could break up the Steam gift cards.
So you're starting to see my dilemma. I have no idea what to. These children don't care about football. They don't care about basketball. They don't care about the bikes. They don't care about anything else in the house other than video games, honestly. I mean, they do care a little bit about board games. The one kid does, but he didn't ask for any board games this Christmas. And truthfully, I don't even know what I would get him if I did. But I'm like, I don't even, like, do I wrap a Steam gift card?
You have.
Oh my God. Josh, you're killing me.
Sorry.
So, you know, what do I, what does he open up?
So you said, man, you know, I, this is a dilemma because I was going to say
this
like,
is, this is the,
it's the Santa this dilemma. This is what we live right? in today. Look, you need to just break the illusion. It's time, Trevor. Just rip the bandaid off. Cause what I was going to say is like, I've done digital gifts for my kids for, you know, a lot of years now. Cause like, I don't freaking want to own physical copies of movies anymore. So I would print out the, you know, the cover of whatever movie I had bought for the kid on Amazon. And that's what they would unwrap. And
that was sort of my, wrap a picture of a movie?
Yeah, yeah. And that was it, you know. And that was my solution for, like, digital gifting. But, yeah, you can't – it's like, I don't know. I'm telling you what I'm going to do because one of the things on my 7-year-old's Christmas list is Super Mario Odyssey for the Nintendo Switch. And I basically – I'm like, I'm not buying one of those stupid cartridges. I hate them. I hate the cartridges. I just want to download it, right? And yeah. So I've got the digital key, and I'm basically going to have it downloaded onto the Switch Christmas morning. And maybe I guess I won't let Santa take credit for that. I don't even want the fat man to take credit for anything anymore anyway. So
I fully understand. I guess maybe I'm just hung up on this idea of actually opening a present.
Yeah, no, I get it. Because I think I'll confront something similar with my sweetheart. She'll, you know, there's always like this bizarre Christmas calculus of like, you know, what does so-and-so have to open and what does, you know, is it fair, et cetera.
These are the epitome of first world problems.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to go watch Queen of Katwe again. So I have a little perspective.
That's true. I look at it and I'm like, okay, I hate the little cartridges too for the Switch. I'd rather download everything, but we have a million cartridges, but all of them have come from birthdays and Christmas. All of them. And we have a ton
because of the whole credit thing.
Yeah. Because they need I'm like, what are they going to open? I want them to open something, I guess. I should just give that up.
It's a new digital age, Trevor.
It's hard for me to grasp, I guess. I was hoping that Josh would at least have some ideas for me. His ideas is embrace it.
I mean, my idea is like pure curmudgeon. I just am like, I just want to be done. I'm all about Christmas. I like it. I like the gifts and I like, you know, family getting together and stuff. But I'm just like, you know what? Remove some of this complication. But it is kind of weird. Like, it's weird that the digital world has kind of changed how you approach gifts in a lot of ways. I mean, I already confronted it like these are for older kids, but like we got some of my older kids who live down in Arizona, you know, we got them basically gift cards for some restaurants that they normally wouldn't, you know, poor college kids, et cetera, normally wouldn't have the funds to eat at frequently. But again, I just got a digital gift card and it's going to show up in their email on Christmas morning, you know, but I guess it does take some of the showmanship out of it. I kind of get your concern.
Well, the other problem is when I was a kid, my grandparents sort of instilled this idea into me that a gift card was a lazy gift. It didn't have any it didn't have any thought. It was sort of like a cop out.
Right.
And I need to drop that too, because in the modern age, gift cards, that's what I want. Don't give me something physical. Give me an Amazon gift card, and I'll burn through it buying movies.
I have similar puritanical feelings, but yeah, I'm just too lazy. It's like so hard. Jay, do you not have the answers here? Do you just you're saying just embrace it? Huh?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm kind of like, so this is kind of a related tangent, I guess. One of the things that, like, just I don't understand, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a regift or something, I don't know. But, like, I see people send marriage gifts, and a lot of times they send gift cards. And, like, when Brian and I got married, we got gift cards to places that... Not only do we not shop there, some of them, like, we don't even have...
Physically aren't present.
Those stores in our town. Like, we got a gift card to Crate and Barrel, which... Or not Crate and Barrel. Some... A home furnishing store that was
Say Crate Cracker and Barrel. Yeah,
sure. Okay. I don't know. Anyways.
Lazy, right? But, like...
Yeah, that's crap.
The gift card I'm talking about for my kid, so my kid's, like, it's a cool restaurant that's like right around the corner. Like, I know they could go on a date there, you know, I don't know.
And I guess I'm kind of curious. This is a follow-up with you, Josh, on, and first of all, have you started like crack the sill on Armageddon? And discuss taking over.
I'm looking at the three wedding invitations on our fridge right now, and I'm like, soon I will try. I have the spreadsheet ready. I have my methodology thought out. I've thought about it way too much. I'm not gonna lie, but no, I have not even broached the subject.
Did we talk about it on a regular episode or a bonus episode?
I don't remember. That's a good question. Yeah. So listeners, I'm going to propose to my sweetheart that I take over all wedding gift responsibilities for the year of 2021. Because, you know, the pandemic has already set the bar low enough for a year that I can't really make it worse.
So here's the philosophy that I've had on wedding presents. And I guess I'm curious if you guys think that it does qualify as, like, lazy or, you know, I don't know. But, like, if there's anything that... most newlywed couples are short on, it's cash. And so I don't understand why I'm like going through all these hoops of why do I not just give them cash? And so that's what I do. And like,
let me tell you a little anecdote. So during my first marriage, we went and did all the stuff that you do. You know, we registered here and there and we did all the stuff and, you know, we got all of our presents, and I'm certain that this was a regift, but there's something in the back of my mind that tells me it's not. But we got a real crystal cheese plate.
Okay.
And it was not only a real crystal cheese plate, it was the tackiest crystal cheese plate you have ever seen in your entire life. And I was 21 at the time, or 22. I was 22, and my wife-to-be was 19. Okay. We got... I mean, you could not get rid of this cheese... You couldn't take this to a pawn shop and get rid of this cheese plate. So ugly.
Okay.
What in the heck is a 22-year-old and a 19-year-old going to do with a crystal cheese plate?
I don't know. I don't know. And like I've also like sometimes, you know, it's the digital age is amazing, you know, whatever. It's nice to be able to like, I guess, go on to gift registries and just have, you know, they've listed out things that they want and
Well, that's part of what I'm excited to do. Like, right, I'm not gonna lie. And have it sent and wrapped right to them and basically never touch my hands. Like,
right.
I am all about the no contact wedding gifting. So excited.
So I'm ready for a verdict. Do you guys think that the cash gift for a wedding is dumb or bad?
I think it depends somewhat on the couple, but I would say sure. that it is. I think that it's the best gift. I would rather, if I was a young newlywed, I would rather have cash than three blenders where I have to take two of them back.
Wait, is one of the blenders a blend tech? Because then I might want multiples.
I mean, honestly, when I got remarried, we kept all the gifts and we just put them in the closet. And when somebody else got married, we re-gifted them. I mean, it's
brilliant.
Just that dumb.
Brilliant. So I will say, Jay, that first of all, the cash has Dr. Wheeler's seal of approval because that really is her preferred technique. So you know, why complicate your life?
Fair enough.
But also part of that is I feel like she has an aversion to like shopping online. You know,
which is what it
would require to like respond to somebody's gift registry.
Yeah, yeah.
Your wife is such an anathema to me. Like,
so back to Trevor's puzzle
conundrum. Yes.
Yeah. So would you say that it's more an issue of wanting something for them to wrap or wanting them to have something while you guys are sleeping in?
It's a little of both, but the bigger part of it is that I want them to have something to do when they get up Christmas morning before we get up, because we won't get up until 10. And for a child who woke up at 5 a.m. like I did when I was a kid, that seems like torture, almost like legal torture.
I mean, it seems to me that what you ought to do is just have, like, a note from Santa saying, like, I've preloaded, you know,
sure.
this game for you to play.
Yes.
You know, etc.
You should age it, too, as though you had prepared, like, an RPG session, you know?
Yeah.
Soak the paper in coffee grounds,
I've done that plenty of times before. I know how to do it quite well.
Find someone who does calligraphy.
I will admit. That's amazing. I will admit that part of the issue is I don't like giving them just straight games, but that's all they're interested in.
I mean, I guess you can give them.
I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
Some socks to play with for all you guys. Oh my
God. I've given them books. They're getting books, but the two boys don't like reading. They've fought me tooth and nail their whole lives with it. But I mean, my daughter will probably read one of the books Christmas Day. I bet that I got her. So,
well,
I was hoping you guys would have more interesting answers, but apparently, I'm just gonna have to deal with it.
I mean, if you went to the Chain Attack gift guide from earlier this year, there's some pretty good ideas in there. You know, like I don't know, Lego sets and Lego puzzles and that. You know what I mean?
Don't like that stuff. They don't care.
You can spend money on stuff that they're not going to like as well to help yourself feel like you're providing them a better Christmas. So that's fine, I guess.
I guess that's the other part of it, is I've given them gifts that I thought would be something they could play with or that would be toys, like Legos. I've watched them, you know, kind of give me the present face, thanks, Dad, you know, and then they push them off to the side. They don't care about them. They don't play with them. And they got played with for 5 minutes on Christmas Day once, and then they sit in their room, and I'm not going to do that again anymore. So...
See, you are learning wisdom.
Right. It feels like the ask here is
you want us to improve your character growth.
No, well, yes. But like the real desire of what he would like to see happen is like Jay and Josh to be able to like wave a magic wand and change the inner nature of his sons. Which I wish I could, because I'd be like a billionaire, but I cannot.
It's not just my sons. I feel like it is the modern age. Like, I think that there are many people listening that have the exact same issue that I have.
Oh, I'm sure. 100%.
Oh, I thought you were going to give like a curmudgeon moment or something. Like,
oh, I am. Get off my lawn.
The modern age or these darn kids.
Ooh. Yeah, these darn kids. Yes, absolutely. Although, I mean, truthfully, I'm not getting any gifts. I'm not getting very many gifts for Christmas, just a few board games. But if I were given free reign, mine would all probably be digital too. So.
Well, I guess the apple doesn't fall far.
That's true.
One of the, I guess, you've kind of described your holiday traditions as a kid, or what you do now, Trevor. When I was a kid, we would, from what I remember, so we would have like a negotiated time on what time we could wake up. Our parents, yes. So before,
did this negotiated time involve like bribery and stuff, or
no, it would just be like, you know, we'd be pushing like.
Is this why you're so good at negotiation games?
It would happen at Christmas Eve dinner, and
that's when the negotiation would occur.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that is amazing. This is really good stuff.
And so we would have Christmas Eve dinner. We would negotiate what time we were going to wake up the next day. We would, you know, Christmas Eve night, we would do, my dad would read the story from Luke in the Bible, and then we would do like a talent show, and then go to bed and wake up at our arranged time. And then we'd have kind of like free time for a little bit in the morning, and then they would cook the same breakfast every year, of hot chocolate, baking powder biscuits, and bacon. And then basically the rest of the day would be open, although we would usually do like a card game as a family in the afternoon. And that would basically be our holiday tradition.
So I just have to tell you how different my youth was to my adulthood. As a kid, I was an only child, but as a kid, I would get up at like 6 a.m. My grandparents got up early anyway, so I didn't have to usually wait very long. But by 7:30 or so, my presents were open. But I always laughed because I had cousins, five of them in this family, and they got up at like 4 a.m. in the morning, and their presents were open before I got up. It always blew me away.
Yeah, my kids have that. They have cousins that are the super early risers, and I'm like, yeah, we established that negotiation once and have maintained it through all the generations of children so far.
Well, sorry, what is that negotiation?
Just that, you know, they get us up at like 6:30 or 7, you know. I mean, it's actually gotten later as my children have gotten older, but like, yeah, they still have cousins that do the like 4:35 gig, and I'm like, nope. That would definitely have ruined my Christmas spirit.
Generally on Christmas, I'm still up at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah. See, you won't be with the all digital Christmas that we've proposed to you. You won't have to be up that late.
Oh, see, you assume that I'm up that late because I'm doing something to prepare for Christmas. No,
you're up that late because wrong. You're playing something. Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
Okay, well, I have one last question for you guys, I guess, and then we'll wrap it up. What's the present that you're most excited to give this holiday season, and what's the one that you're most excited to, that you're expecting to receive?
Okay, so the honestly, the one I'm most excited to give, this is like an old married couple thing, I think. I'm getting my wife a heated lap blanket for when she's riding in the truck with me.
Does it like plug into the
cigarette outlet? Yes, it plugs in. it'll warm up, you know, so she'll have a warm seat under her and a warm blanket above her. Like, I probably should get her, like, a really fluffy white cat also, because I'm basically, like, admitting, here, you are a cute old lady. Just embrace it, right?
You should totally link me that, because Brian would probably like that as well.
I will find my order and send you a copy so you missed it, yeah. As far as the one I'm most excited to give, I honestly am like, I just assume that I'm not getting anything anymore. Like, and so I don't even have, I don't know what that says about me. Like, I mean, I have, I'm like Trevor, I've gotten gifts for myself. I'm really excited to unwrap Hades again on Christmas, you know, or, I can't remember which game I'm most excited to unwrap for myself right now. Probably Star Wars Unlocked, but you know, I mean, Prophecy of Kings is maybe going to be here. I don't know. There's things I'm excited about, right? But like, I don't, I'm sure that my family will get me something like heartwarming and cute, but I got no idea. And so I just don't even think about it.
There's a holiday tradition that I'm not sure you're aware of, Josh, with your family. Okay. I can pull back the curtain a little bit. And so at some point around like December 23rd, December 24th, I will receive a text from your wife.
Trevor shopping days, gotcha.
She'll say, are you guys open? And what does Josh want? And can I send one of my children to pick something up? So I guess I should get ahead of the curve. Is there anything you haven't bought from Gameopolis yet that you're excited for or would like?
Let's see. I better go look at the Discord chat. I feel like everything I've been sending you in the Discord chat is like...
I'll have it special order stuff.
Well, what I mean is like, I feel like everything I've been sending you is like coming soon kind of crap, right?
Mm, yeah. Did you pick up Dune Imperium yet?
I haven't picked it up yet.
Okay. Well,
maybe
I just
see. Don't, I should just leave that there for her to pick
yeah,
up.
Yeah, don't buy it. I'll say, oh, Josh will love this game.
Yeah.
If this is the year that she skips contacting me, then you can just buy it afterwards.
Okay, this is a solid plan. And then the best part about that is the deluxe pack that I ordered direct. You know, should also show up about the same time, so it'll be like a sitcom where, like, I don't know how these two things arrived at the same time. That's really weird.
Okay, Trevor, what are you most excited to give and receive?
Okay, so my wife rarely asks for anything. In fact, she's very difficult to purchase for because she's so frugal. She doesn't ask for anything. She doesn't want for anything. But funny enough, a couple months ago, she pulls me aside and she shows me this framed picture. And it's by a famous artist, and it's their numbered prints. And she's like, I know I don't ask for much, but I really love this picture. And she says, I know it's really expensive, so if you can't get it, then I understand, but I want it. And I look at the price, and I'm like, it's a $1,200 picture. It's on sale for $975.
Wow, okay.
And I'm like, and she's telling me this tongue in cheek, you know? And I'm like, you know, cause we both look at each other and we're like, there's no way we can afford this. So what I ended up doing was buying a smaller version of this, cause the picture she asked for, or that she showed me, the framed, numbered version was like, it's like 36 by 28 or something. And then it's framed around that. It's huge. I don't even know where we would put it. So I bought a slightly smaller version for her and didn't cost me $1,000. So I'm excited for her to open that. She'll be pretty excited. I don't think she's expecting it. So
that's well done.
The present that I'm most excited for, because I buy all the presents in the house, so I know exactly what I'm getting for Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't know how this happened. When I was a kid, my grandmother bought all the Christmas. My grandpa did nothing. And my wife, I love her to death, but if I leave it up to her, she just won't buy anything until like the last minute. and then
she'll buy it because she's so frugal?
No. I don't know why she does that, but anyway. So anyway, I buy all the gifts, including my own. And I bought myself Too Many Bones, the board game.
Oh, you will freaking love that game.
And I'm pretty pumped for it.
You can even play it solo too, which I'm not sure if you will. Will you?
Maybe, but probably not. But it's, you know, a 1-4 player, quick play, great fun game that'll be like a dungeon crawl, basically. I mean, I've heard nothing but high praise for it. So I'm excited.
Real quick, the ones for me, the one I'm most excited to give is a, I got Brian the ginormous Millennium Falcon Lego set.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, that's won't this be like a 6-month project kind of thing?
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how long it takes us to do. I think it's around like 7,500 pieces or something like that.
Holy cow.
That is amazing.
Yeah, the box for it is huge. but he'll love that. And I think the only thing that Brian's gave me this year is, he's ordered me like a bunch of, new t-shirts from T-Turtle. So I'm sure those will be cute. If anyone, excuse me, has any ideas on how to fix Trevor's Christmas problem or change the nature of Trevor's boys, say something in Discord or do a post on social media.
This sounds like the elevator like pitch for a Goosebumps book.
Josh, we did a Dank Doom meme. Do you have a dad joke for us?
Man, I got to get back in the habit, apparently.
Apparently.
Let's see. Oh, actually, okay. since we're talking Christmas, do you know, Jay, how much did Santa pay for his sleigh?
I do not know, Josh.
He paid nothing. It was on the house.
Excellent. Excellent.
Well okay. Done.
Thank you, everyone, and have a Merry Christmas.
Indeed.
Thank you, everyone, and have a Merry Christmas.